Hello all, this is Blonde Haired Girl. It's the middle of the night and I am awake. Oh wow, I just had this weird epiphany about how it all just kind of comes together in my life choices and something that is happening in my life right now. I've been supremely stressed out about something that I don't want to get into too much detail, but something has been going on at my current work situation that has been going on for 10 months now, and it's not resolved, and I'm, you know, just in work situations when you're dealing with all kinds of personalities and expectations, it is just challenging, and it makes it more challenging when I feel so incredibly responsible for myself and my children. I'm not just responsible to myself. I'm responsible to my children. And two of them, I'm solely responsible for my children. one of the people that I had a baby with is a lot more generous toward that child than the other one. Anyway, and so just this incredible sense of responsibility and making sure that everyone, can eat and have cell phone service and everything else that they need to survive. It's important. So hello. I'm just teasing. So I work a lot in order to take care of myself and my children is what I'm trying to say. And it's challenging, partly because of my life choices on my own. I have spent a good percentage of my life single, as a single parent. I haven't done the math right now, but I'm like wondering if I've spent more time in my life without a mate than I did with a mate. But I mean, that actually could be true, that that's just really starting to even out here. Maybe not, but so I'm vocal with y'all about that. I understand that I spend too much time on my computer, on my cell phone, you know, and I sit here and I'm like, you know, I'm not going to make excuses for it. It just is what it is. And it provides me with, you know, entertainment, amusement, escape, all kinds of stuff, but also information. I like keeping a beat on what I perceive to be, not just perceive, I mean, what is going on worldwide. I like to be able to keep a beat on trends. And so I've been doing podcasts, gosh, I'm not even sure how many years now. And so I've talked about some of these trends, and you know, toward this idea of a theocracy, a Christocracy, like it's not just belief in God, it's belief in Jesus, not the God necessarily of Abraham, but the God of Abraham and Jesus. And I want to make it clear that it's not that I don't believe in Jesus, but getting on with this. People who would like to have the Bible, the law of the land, and they have a worldview and a very tunnel vision about the direction that they want this country to go in, and have truly infiltrated our government. I just have to point this out, just because I think it's really something that the Speaker of the House, who is not somebody that I necessarily agree with, the Speaker of the House was at the trial of Donald Trump yesterday. He has been bringing this entourage into court, I guess trying to save his reputation, because and I feel like a lot of people really do not understand what is going on in the court, like why he has all these charges against him. And why he has these charges against him is because he did something illegal, and he paid off a couple of women. I think it's three different sections here. There's two women, and then he also gave money to a magazine, like the Star or the National Enquirer. I don't know the name of the magazine, but he, so that he could have, he could basically steer public opinion and have them put on the front of their magazines. And the man who testified, who owns or who is, I'm not sure exactly the role of these people, but somebody high up in the magazine said the only thing that really matters about the magazine is the cover. And he would have put these absurd headlines regarding Hillary Clinton and his political opponents, just propaganda, complete propaganda on the front of these magazines, in order to sway public opinion. And he did not want it coming out to the public that that he was having these extramarital affairs with these women. And so he had his, I believe, lawyer, I can't remember his name right now, Cohen, his lawyer, he had his lawyer pay this money that I'm not sure, but I think it wasn't his money. It was money that belonged to the Republican Party or campaign money. He used money that he wasn't supposed to be using. He allocated to the paying off of these people so that they wouldn't, it was to have them be quiet about that extramarital affair before the election. Although honestly, he could have been just being paranoid, because honestly, the people who follow him, it seems he could do anything. It really does. It seems he could do anything and they would still follow him and believe in him. It's quite astounding to watch. But anyway, so he's on trial and has had multiple gag orders put on him. But now what he's doing is, instead of him putting things out on social media, he's having these other people, like the Speaker of the House or other people that he may, he is having come to these trials, having them put out horrible things about the corrupt lawyers and the judge and the jurors, and it's all really so bad. anybody else who would be doing such things would be in really big trouble. But so in thinking about this guy, the Speaker of the House, he and his wife, I'm not sure what Christian religion they're in, but they are definitely people who would like the law of the land to be the Bible. Which, if you were going to go to the Bible about abortion, I mean, honestly, and their affinity for the Old Testament, which I've said over and over again that I don't understand the affinity for the Old Testament, but they have it. So all the things that God does to, you know, babies, children, you know, cattle, like kill everything. So I mean, I'm not sure. Does the Bible explicitly talk about abortion? I mean, does it? Just without getting on the subject like too much, I mean, it's not even that I'm really necessarily talking, you know, about like abortion on demand per se, but even we are forcing 11-year-olds who have been raped to have a baby. There are some people who believe that they should get rid of the minimum age for marriage. So the person who raped this child should marry her instead. Then I guess it wouldn't be called rape anymore. Huh? So you can do whatever you want to your wife. I mean, just having absolutely no say over our body whatsoever and what's done to it. And even by somebody who, I mean, is marriage even about love anymore? Like real love. But anyway, the reason why this is just so pressing in my mind right now has to do with, I'm sorry, I'm having a little bit of sarcasm today. Some of you who know me may notice. Yesterday, all over my social media that I'm not necessarily supposed to be spending so much time on, there was this gentleman. He's like, I guess he's a kicker for a NFL football player who was speaking at a commencement speech. I'm not sure if he was graduating himself or if he was just an NFL player who they thought it might be nice to have come maybe it was a Christian university. Now that I think about it, I really don't know what university it was. And the people who were presenting this, like it, none of that was in any way, shape, or form the point. I got their full point. And that was, he was congratulating the women who had graduated, but had said to them that, that their bigger occupation was in their vocation in life is actually to be a wife and mother, and talked about his own, you know, after spending all of this money to get their degree and time and energy to advance their mind and their possible position in the workforce. No, you're supposed to be subject to a man. And I want to reiterate that I'm not anti-man, but I don't think I would be able to spend 5 minutes with that particular man. It's good that I don't have to, because but I have to tell you, I feel like I understand the undercurrent quite well of this idea that has been put forth in culture and in religion, in particular that in the Christian religion, Catholic religion, that women are subjects We are supposed to be subject to, and our vocation in life, our whole reason for being, is to be a wife and a mother, be at home, not advancing our career, not advancing our mind, not making an impact on other individuals, but doing that particular occupation. And this is like really crazy because I just couldn't even believe what I was seeing because I just wrote about this on the back of my book. I mean, I spend a little bit of time on this subject in this nonfiction novel that I have just finished. In fact, I feel like I spend even a little bit more than a little. And I did have questions in my mind about who actually might ever read this book and them feeling that it was trite. That I ended marriages tritely. I chose to not tell the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth in my book. I did not think that it would do the world any good or bring any beauty into the world to tell the truth about why I ended my marriages. And not that I believe, because I actually have this whole other trilogy that I plan to write when I'm making a living as a writer and I have time to write full time, because these projects would get done a whole hell of a lot faster if I wasn't spending exorbitant amounts of time occupied with other things. But regardless, I do not believe, I actually don't necessarily believe fully in the Bible. There's like parts of the Bible, you know, and so I understand the fact that I can't do that. I do not want to be hypocritical enough to say, oh, well, I believe this part, but not that part, you know, which we're all hypocrites when it comes to the Bible. Otherwise, we'd be chopping our hands off. I'm not suggesting that. But having, I guess I would say the word, like, moved past the Bible in my own advancement of my soul or whoever I am spiritually, I don't believe that God, that any of this is God's way. It is a human construct. Marriage is a human construct. And I think that it can be used for a beautiful thing too. Two people that really love each other, who want to do life together and form families. I think that is an amazing thing. That is quite different than the trap of marriage, that a woman is subject to her husband and must do whatever he commands her to do. That's completely different. And I'm not saying that I really believe that there should be power should be shared in a relationship, in any relationship. The best relationships are where a woman is treasured for her opinion. Her opinion means a whole lot to her spouse. The relationships that I was in did not necessarily, were not as overtly patriarchal as this particular person that was speaking. But things like this were said to me. Like, I'll never forget this one time I had a child, and I had said to my child's father, I said to him that I had this opportunity to do something career-wise. I was always working on my career. I wanted to make something of myself for various reasons, to be able to support myself, to be able to support my children, but also, and I didn't really know about an impact, but let's just get back to it. And so I had talked to him about the fact that I wanted to do something, and he full on said to me, whatever I have to do trumps whatever you have to do. It was those very words. Whatever I have to do trumps whatever you have to do. He wasn't looking at the advancement of me whatsoever. He did not want me to get better. He didn't want me to be an independent person. He didn't, and he really felt like, because he was quote unquote the breadwinner, that whatever he did trumped whatever I did. I remember one of the men that I was married to, he said, she left me because I didn't get the recycle bin. This is what he told people. I left him simply because, I mean, for the simple reason that he didn't get the recycle bin. And so let's just analyze that for a second. I mean, it seems so trite, right? He didn't get the recycle bin. It was just an example of the many times that my desires and needs were ignored. He actually, in this case, knew what it was. I was clear. He knew what it was, and he chose. He made the decision over and over and over and over and over again to ignore my desires. And that's not why I left him. But it was probably one reason why I left him. But that's not why I left him. But and I choose to not share the gruesome details of the ending of my relationships. And I realized when I was writing the book that it seems like, I mean, I just kind of talk about abruptly about some ending, and I don't really, basically what I say is that it was nothing like what I thought it was going to be. It was nothing. It was nothing like I thought it was going to be. I mean, I thought it would be two people working for a common good on the same team. And it wasn't. And that isn't a trite thing. When you are partnering with your enemy. And I'm not saying that men are generally my enemy, but I am saying that the people that I was married to were not my friend. They were not. They weren't my friend. They weren't. They were not on my team. They were not on the advancement of me and being the best version of myself. They weren't interested in me doing anything impactful. In fact, I don't even know if I could have done what I've done in my life over the last 6 years if I had been with any of them. And so I just thought it was just so ironic that I had just written about this. I mean, like on the back of my book, I said, you know, her role, you know, I write this whole thing is in, I think, second person, like her role as a wife and mother. And then her break from traditional Christian thought, this is incredibly pertinent to me. As a female who, I guess, I don't consider myself a feminist. I really don't. I don't necessarily seek to necessarily do everything a man can do. I mean, and I don't even know if that's necessarily the definition of a feminist. I don't. I just think that it would be nice if we could just put down the weapons against each other. It's like, why does it have to be us against them? Why does it have to be us being on the opposite end? And you say, okay, well, you know, I feel like a man like this man who was speaking at this commencement will then just fall into your role. Fall into this role that he has no idea what it's like to be in that role. He has no idea what it feels like to lose your body when you're pregnant, to carry a child, the responsibility of carrying a child, to birth a child. He has no idea what it feels like to birth, to push a person out of your body. And then the caring for that child. I mean, he may care for his child a little bit. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how he is as a husband. And the first thought that came into my mind was, let's talk in a little bit in a few years. You know, as we're seeing this current trend, this current woman who is now unalive, she's dead, from a Christian minister who did like all of the things that people do with divorce. Oh, she's crazy. I mean, I know we do it too. I know females do it too. We like, you know, he's a narcissist. She's bipolar and he's a narcissist. You know, people start acting crazy when they break up. And I don't think it always has to be that way, but I'm just saying. And this woman is dead. And so let's talk about this little power over system and how well it works. And this guy who like actually groomed her, she was very young in the church, and he had been married before and had children with other women. And he was given these sermons on not living together, not having sex before marriage, and all of this, and his life is really quite a disaster. He had already started it up with the next woman when this one filed a restraining order and now is dead. So I think that it's like a pertinent topic to say, like, is this whole school of thought a viable, something that is sustainable, is something that we should be aspiring to? Because there's something missing in it. Like, why would he not want a smart, educated woman? And it seems like it is. It is a lot out of fear. I mean, she can go get a job and leave me. She doesn't need me. And it is a risk. And what women risk? Every single child that I had put me back in the workforce for at least 5 years. Because it was 5 years for me to, like, before I could, like, then I would have to start again. And the poverty, you know, like, that I went into after I divorced a man, the poverty that I went into was horrible. It was horrible. And living in apartments and moving and you know, and then finally I was able to get a place where we were fairly stable. May not have been perfect. It wasn't the Taj Mahal, but we were stable. We had a roof over our head that was affordable. This was a good thing. While the men in my life were living in the home that we were living in. They're living in the home that, you know, their life really didn't change that much. I think it would have been nicer had they cared about the loss of me. But that didn't seem to be a consideration for them. They didn't do much to, like, fix the relationship. I mean, I gotta go. I really have to get back because I gotta go talk to my accountant. I gotta go talk to my financial advisor. It's more important how this is gonna affect my pocketbook than how it's gonna affect my heart. Because apparently I wasn't in the heart. So, I don't have my thoughts together on this, like where to go, except that, you know, something that I, you know, maybe would aspire to, like, develop is, you know, a different way to partner. As in, let's see how, I mean, it would have been nice if the man that I had been partnering with would have said, okay, how can we make it so that you can go to your thing and I can go to my thing? How can we see to it that we're both supported? The children are supported and we're both supported. Why does it have to be either or? Why can't it be both? Why can't it be a win-win? Anyway, I just thought it was just unbelievable, like, the things that this man was saying in his commitments exercise and my book. Like, I couldn't even believe it. And when how pertinent this book, like, really is, somebody in my age group, but like important for a younger woman to read. Because I don't think it's very far into a relationship that's very traditional where a woman starts to feel this way. What have I done? What have I done? You know, sitting there alone with three kids, day in and day out, like while he's out until 3 in the morning playing darts, playing pool at the local, bar. I'm just using that as one example. Somebody in my life, this is what happened. And when he, finally said, I can't live like this anymore, my first thing was he's met someone else, and like people were like, no. I was making jokes about us sitting in front of the bar and just watching. A man doesn't normally leave his wife and 3 kids unless he hasn't found someone else. And probably vice versa. I'm just saying that goes both ways. I mean, maybe everything I just said goes both ways. I mean, I don't know. I just know things from my own point of view. Which was a very, very traditional Christian Catholic, and I never really considered n not going to college, which is so weird. I mean, I think my mother, really wanted me to go to college. I don't know. I don't exactly know why, because she raised me as the quintessential lady waiting for, I mean, there's a chapter in my book called Getting Her MRS, going to college, doing things to be a married woman. I mean, it was my option, becoming a nun, or that was my option. I had no other options. This is the way I was raised. And so my next project is trying to figure out how to change my mind and I haven't really figured it out. I don't really have my because we've been taught, and I think that there is an element of this that is biologically true, because our bodies are just formed for connection, to form attachments. Our bodies are just set up for that. And so it must be, and is that solely for reproduction? Is it? I mean, I can't imagine that our whole purpose for being here biologically is to reproduce. I mean, I just don't believe that. And so it has to be partly just for pleasure and just life, that in life we do better when we're in groups. We fare better when we are in connection and when we are cooperating with one another. I mean, we just do. We do better. And so it would, and so I'm trying to find out for my own self, because I have spent so many years single, like, and I analyze this all the time and analyze it. Why am I single? And is there something wrong with me that I'm single? Am I doing something wrong that I'm single? Like, just what could I do? How do I change this in my life if I want to? And then you're not supposed to want it too much. It's like the word want pushes it away. You're supposed to attract. You're not supposed to need. Just all of these, it's crazy making. But I would like to figure more about it, just in my own introspection, like figure out more about where I came with these ideas, and because I must be in the place, the perfect place. You know, they say, Abraham Hicks says, we're in the right place at the right time. Okay, so this must be the perfect way that I'm supposed to be living right in this moment. And that is as a single person. I don't understand it, but... And so I'm looping back to the beginning of this little monologue that I'm doing right now. Looping back to the very beginning when I was talking about doing life as a single person, and it would be nice to have somebody to talk to about this. About how I could have money coming in a different way, where I wouldn't have to work for employers anymore. What kind of little business could I open? How could I do this differently? What are my next steps? Like, how do I not worry about this, like bills wise, like, you know, doing bills with somebody else so that you're not, you can lean on each other. And both people can prosper, and both people can be troubleshooting. And if one person needs to leave a job, the other one has an income. You know, I mean, it's like working cooperatively together and the advancement of both people. Instead of, you know, I'm so grateful that I have her to take up all the slack so that I can go do great things. Anyway. All right, I'm done. I appreciate you listening, and I'll be back with other ideas. And that's a wrap.